Texting enrolls you in recurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Frank Thomas, the Big Hurt. After I left baseball, I just couldn't stay in shape like I used to. Turns out, once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone, and that can make it harder to get into shape. So I got back into the game with Nugenix. I'm feeling stronger with a lot more energy and drive. You want to get back into shape? Get Nugenix.
All you have to do is send one simple text.
Frank's right. Just text STAY to 321321 to get a complimentary bottle of award-winning Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Its unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help a man feel stronger, leaner, more energetic, and more passionate.
And guys, she'll like the difference too.
Nugenix samples are not available in stores. To get your complimentary bottle, text STAY to 321321. That's STAY to 321321.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
It is, in fact, our 26th year on the air, and this is Into Tomorrow for the weekend of Friday, September 10th, 2021, on radio, the original social media. And hopefully you're listening to us on your favorite radio station. Perhaps you're listening to us on our 24/7 stream, like on the Into Tomorrow app, which is free, and we hope you have. If not, please get it. Or you're listening to us on our free podcasts. So many different ways to get Into Tomorrow. We're just delighted that you're tuned in, and even more delighted when you participate. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline.
You sure?
Yeah.
All righty then. We got some tech news and commentary in this first segment. Alan in Mississippi, standing by, a big Super Talk Mississippi listener. We're going to get to your call in a few moments and many others.
Recently, we talked about Apple's brand new update for their latest iPhone, a photo scanning app that has the ability to detect any sort of content within their photos that might depict child sex abuse. Mm. This update was made to cut down on child sex abuse and hopefully make the world a safer place for children everywhere. However, many people have called out the new update on its controversial nature, and the feedback has been so astronomical that it has done something truly unbelievable. It has caused Apple to press pause on getting this update to the public.
Interesting.
Yeah, so now the problem isn't that people don't want children to be safe. I think we can all agree that protecting our children is one of the most important things that we need to do.
Of course.
The problem is that users are extremely concerned about the future of their privacy. Apple said, quote, based on feedback from customers, advocacy groups, researchers, and others, we have decided to take additional time over the coming months to collect input and make improvements before releasing these critically important child safety features. Yeah.
I mean, there's the two hands thing. On the one hand, I certainly agree with child safety. I'm a father and a grandfather and so forth, and you do whatever it takes to protect kids, of course. Then on the other hand, I hear our listeners that are talking a lot about privacy as well, and somebody being able to do something so invasive as to look at the pictures on your phone, and especially those that say, hey, I got no problem with, you know, child safety, and by all means, they're never going to find anything on my phone for child abuse or sexual abuse or anything of that sort. But I don't want them in my phone looking at my pictures anyway.
And that's why I've been very torn on this issue, because I feel the same way you do. It's, yeah. I want both things to happen. I want the privacy, but I want the kids to be protected.
Yeah. You know, so you can see, unfortunately, in this case, for a change, Apple's dilemma.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a lot of people that were probably threatening, and this is what really got their attention, to go Android, to throw their iPhone in the water, or the lake or something, and forget you, you know, done with Apple. And they were probably getting a whole lot of that from people who had nothing to hide, but I'll be darned if I want you in my phone looking at my pictures, even if they're, again, nothing to hide.
Yeah. And plus, I'm sure that they were opening themselves up to many lawsuits by privacy groups. Even if the lawsuit didn't go anywhere, it's still going to cost Apple money to defend themselves.
Well, and they can afford it, but the fact is, do they want to go through all of that trouble? Now, what's the solution? Or is there? a solution.
Well, they could do similar things on your computer, but they need a warrant from a judge. So yeah. There's an option. You know, maybe you know have the capability there, but it's not something that's taken advantage of or used unless there is a warrant from a judge that where they have probable cause to get in there.
If there is already perhaps an investigation, if there's a child predator that they're concerned about in the community, and they have, again, probable cause. Now, a judge says, okay, Apple, we know you can do this. Here's a court order to do so on that device. Fine. I have no problem with that whatsoever. And for the privacy people that want to protect, you know, this predator, to heck with you. You know, go after this person and get him or her off the streets and in jail where they belong.
Yeah. Well, plus, you know, I think of, you know, parents. You know, when Cameron was a baby, you know, his mom and I were always, we've taken pictures of him like in his first bath. Of course, you know, we would cover things so they weren't seen, but sometimes you'd see a little tushy. But, you know, would that mean that our son's picture on my phone that we took for our own memories would then be flagged, and I'd start having people knocking on my door for having child, you know, child pornography?
It could be, ultimately, because again, where do you draw the line? You know, is it an age issue? Is it a, oh, that's just a cute little baby in the bathtub thing? Or, I don't know. I can see their dilemma, and I rarely, as you know, and every other regular listener knows, rarely take Apple's side on anything. Mm-hmm. But I can feel for them here. So maybe the final answer is Apple's capable of doing it, develop it, deal with it, you know, fine-tune it, whatever. Just don't do it unless there's a court order for a specific person's device.
And I hope they can come to some kind of a, you know, compromise with that, because I think it's a good feature to have. I just think that privacy is also very important.
Yeah, for sure. Gotcha. Motita's, I guess that's how you say it, their upcoming $369 Pure phone, they're calling it, is part of a wave of minimalist handsets that can generally handle making calls and one or two other features, such as perhaps text messaging, photography, maybe a little navigation support. The Wall Street Journal says the devices are aimed at consumers who want to avoid using multifunctional smartphones. Is that really an issue for many people? That you don't want a smartphone? I mean, I get it if some people don't use a lot of the features of a smartphone. I mean, in my signature for email on my smartphone, I have sent by my somewhat smartphone. Because, and I'm surprised how few people actually acknowledge that. But every so often I get somebody to say, oh, love your signature. I'm going to steal that, you know, my somewhat smartphone as well. And again, I understand people who say, you know what, I use it for texting, maybe surf the web, an occasional phone call. Yeah, they still make a call. But beyond that, I don't really use a lot of the other features. Take a picture here and there, grandkids or something.
Well, I've had, you know, an iPhone since they came out, and I've been on the current iOS since it came out, like over a year or 2 years ago, whenever iOS 14 came out.
You're a sworn iPhone-y from the get-go.
Well, and I've told you before, it's because I'm too old and too, you know, I don't want to be having to learn a new operating system.
Oh, geez.
My point is, I am still learning, and I learned some new features last week, things that the iPhone can do that I never knew it could do.
Okay. But so then you're not one of those that says you want to avoid using multifunctional smartphones because you like some of the features.
I like some of the features. I just wish I knew about some of them that, you know, are cool that I never knew about
before. Well, here's a thought. Do some digging. Learn more features.
Oh, like, and I have time for that.
Come on. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. When you're home doing nothing. And you can't be gardening because it's raining. We got our South Florida summer rains and stuff. So do a little digging. And then start a new little feature, a weekly feature about smartphone tips. I like it. And you can say, did you know that you can do this and this and this?
Tip one, throw it away.
Yeah. Get one of these $369 Pure phones instead.
I miss my old Motorola flip phone.
Well, that was because it was Star Trekky.
Yeah. It was the cool. StarTAC.
Yeah, so it was. Yeah.
Speaking of cell phones, T-Mobile U.S. customers filed a series of class action lawsuits accusing the company of negligence after hackers exposed personal data belonging to millions of its current, former, and prospective users. We talked about that a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
At least three lawsuits have been filed so far in a district court, all demanding jury trials. Two of the complaints accuse T-Mobile of violating the U.S. Federal Trade Commission Act, which prohibits companies from engaging in unfair and deceptive activities, including failure to maintain appropriate security measures to safeguard customer information. Penalties are set at $100 to $750 per customer or incident or actual damages, whichever is found to be greater.
Wow. And when they release millions of people's personal data.
Something like 48 million people were affected or something.
Gosh, that can add up very quickly.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, good. I hope they work on that and it doesn't increase our T-Mobile bills. Yeah. Google is said to have custom processor designs in the works for its Chromebook laptops and tablet computers. Company's also developing mobile chips for its own Pixel smartphones and other devices. And that's kind of interesting because you keep hearing more and more companies making their own chips or looking at companies to do other chips and that kind of thing. And it kind of makes you wonder, whatever happened to Intel anyway? Because they're not doing that anymore. Like, for example, Amazon, Apple, Baidu, Facebook, Google, Tesla, they've all taken to coming up with their own custom chip designs for certain devices. They're turning to companies like foundries like Taiwan Semiconductor to fabricate those integrated circuit designs. Increasingly, these companies want custom-made chips fitting their application's specific requirements rather than use the same generic chips as their competitors. So again, no one using any Intel chips for that kind of use any longer. You might still find one in a laptop or a desktop, but not in any other device, so I think they really missed the ball.
Probably.
Missed the boat.
Now, if you're still holding on to your Samsung Galaxy Note 9, the good news is that you can still get security software updates for the phone. The bad news, as revealed in a newly updated Samsung security updates page, is that the software patches will now be released on a quarterly schedule rather than monthly.
Uh-oh.
The change in updates is not exactly a surprise. The Galaxy Note 9 has been available since September 2018, so having 36 months of regular monthly security updates is actually better than normal. It's likely that the Galaxy Note 9 updates will continue at their quarterly rate for at least the next year, and then we'll see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. See if the demand is such that they've got to do them more frequently or not.
Yeah, maybe they'll be like Microsoft, and they'll just stop doing updates altogether so they can try to force people to upgrade to their newer versions.
Yeah. Windows 11. Anybody heard of that? Yeah. You were talking about privacy earlier, of course. The results of the National Privacy Test, which is a yearly global survey about digital privacy, are just in. Here are some of the main takeaways. Sadly, the global score is 66 points out of 100. Despite knowing well how to stay safe online, users all around the world don't practice what they preach. When it comes to habits, the score is 48 points out of 100. Germany remains the most advanced country, 70 out of 100, on all accounts. Americans come in second, yay us, but our habits are still quite poor, they say. The UK and Australia had the biggest improvements, 3 points each, compared to last year's results. On the other hand, some of the countries, Italy, France, and Ireland, for example, had a setback in their privacy ratings. So I'm not really sure what that tells us, except we're better than number two. We got to try harder.
Yeah.
And let's see what happens. We got to surpass Germany.
Yeah.
And be a lot more concerned about our privacy. Apparently not many of us are and should be. Mercedes-Benz is testing, get this, a brain-computer interface that could allow drivers to control vehicles with their thoughts using headgear with brainwave measuring capabilities. What could go wrong?
Yeah.
Our partners at PC Mag say the next phase of development will likely entail testing reliability and ensuring drivers can seamlessly shift their focus while driving safely.
Right.
I just don't see that as working.
No.
Because how many times all of us when driving, and we should be concentrating on driving, obviously. It's very, very dangerous to drive. You're behind a 4,000-pound bomb, basically, weapon. You got to be careful. You got to pay attention. Drive defensively. Concentrate on the road and your surroundings. But our mind does tend to wander periodically anyway. Something you hear on the radio, somebody in the car distracting you, something that you read on a billboard while you're driving, something, and you want to have your brain control your driving?
Yeah, I mean, I've been guilty over the years of driving from point A to point B and then realizing when I get to point B, how did I get here? I mean, I knew I was in the car, but it's like, I don't remember any of the drive. I obviously got here safely, but it's scary.
Sure, but you're thinking, I don't remember going by such and such or making that turn or whatever, because where was my mind? I was just kind of doing it.
Uh-huh.
That's scary. Alan in Ackerman, Mississippi, listens on Super Talk Mississippi and joins us into tomorrow. Hey, Alan.
With foreign countries using their cell phones for computer standalone instead of laptop and desktop, what are the advancements out there for the United States people looking into that and applying it to their lives?
Ooh, interesting question, Alan. We have access, of course, to the same hardware, operating system, software, and networks than other countries have. So there's something a different country is doing with their phones that we probably can do as well. 90% of what average people do in their personal lives can be done with a phone without needing to resort to a computer. I mean, your phone is a computer anyway, right? But without having to go to a separate device, your laptop or desktop, modern phones can run banking apps, streaming apps, office suite type apps. So you can even do your taxes on your phone.
Yeah, and that's why Apple keeps trying to push the iPad as a computer replacement. iPads are far less flexible than fully featured computers, but they can easily do the bulk of what the average user needs or wants to do. There's really not an awful lot that you need to use a phone as a laptop replacement. Everything is either built in or uses an app that you can download from the device itself. If you want to print, which is less and less common these days, just look for a network printer. Particularly something that adheres to the Google Print or Apple's AirPrint standards would help. Unfortunately, Google Print requires that you connect the printer to Google servers, which is not great, but it will allow you to print from the phone at least.
Yeah, so Alan, if that's one of the things you were thinking about, then by all means, you can do most everything on your phone. It's just not as easily done. Just like Apple pushing iPad, replacing your computer, no thanks. I still want to use my desktop or laptop for many things, especially work-related. So curious about what others think. Let us know at 800-899-INTO or hit the Ask Dave button at intotomorrow.com.